ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। प्लीज रिपीट। ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्याघनन्दनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुं यलितान्येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामायं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुक्तापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं सावेतं सावधूतं भृजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण कर्णसिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कण्ठा राधकण्ठ नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त कञ्चन गौरङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि ऋषभानुसुतदेवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् गीतोपनिषद एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद फिफ्थ Chapter, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And today's verse, I believe, is 25. Please repeat. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayaha Shina Kalmasaha Chinna Haivda Yathatmana Savabhuta Rite Ritaha Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishaya Shina Kalmasaha Chena Daivda Yatha Atmana Sava-bhūta hṛte-rataha Labhante brahma-nirvānam Rishaya-śīna-kalmasāha Chīna-dhaivdhāyata-ātmānah Sava-bhūta hṛte-rataha Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayaha Shina Kalmasaha Chena Daivdhayata Admanaha Savabhuta Hrite Rataha. Please repeat. Labhante Achieve Brahma Nirvanam Liberation in the Supreme. Rishayayaha. Those who are active within. Shinakalmasaha. Who are devoid of all sins. Chinna. Having torn off. Dhaivdaha. Duality. Yata Atmanaha. Engaged in self-realization. Sarva-bhūta for all living entities. Rite in welfare work. Rataha engaged. Translation Srila Prabhupada. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Please repeat. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are freed from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. When a person is actually in knowledge that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The sufferings of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. Therefore, to act to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class welfare work without being liberated in the Supreme. A Krishna-conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubts because he is completely freed from all sins. This is the state of divine love. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot factually help anyone. Temporary relief of the external body and the mind is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties in the hard struggle for life may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. Makam karoti vachalam bhangam laite girim yatripatam aham bande sri guru dinatarinam labhante brahma nirvanam rishaya shina kalmasaha shina dhaidha yatatmanaha sarvabhuta hrite rataha. Those who are engaged in the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. So, here Krishna is continuing his exposition of the qualities of a devotee. Rishaya. You see the Sanskrit there. Those who are active within. So of course everyone has heard of the different rishis. We were discussing this morning Angira Muni. So he was told by Lord Brahma, he's mind born from Lord Brahma. And he was told to perform austerities, but to dedicate the results of those activities for the welfare of all beings in the material world, particularly. Because we're all in the material world, we're all actually the descendants of Lord Brahma. So naturally he has concern. We're in the Brahma Sampradaya, so in one way we're related to Lord Brahma because our disciplic succession goes back to Lord Brahma. But we also have, so that's a spiritual connection. But we also have a Diksha connection. But then we also have a family connection through the body. Huh? Lord Brahma is the ultimate Prajapati. He produces all the prajapatis that expand the different entities, different qualities. So he is the father of everyone, Pitamaha, the grandfather. Sometimes Lord Brahma, he's painted as having a beard, right? Like a grandfather. But actually, he's eternally fresh, situated in Satchilok, the highest planet. Then there's different rishis, for example, Vasishtha Muni, right? So he is particularly known for his skill in philosophy, Vasishtha Muni. He's very good at spiritual philosophy, all forms of philosophy. Then there's Vishramita. He's also a great rishi, a great moon. He was born in a Kshatriya lineage, but when he came to the understanding that Brahma Tejas, the power of knowledge, was superior to Kshatriya Tejas, he performed many austerities, and he is a big rival, Vasishtha Muni and Vishramita Muni. You know, they have many quarrels. Yes. So that's a whole big story in the but it occurs in all the Puranas. They have a rivalry. So he's known for his austerities. Then Gotama Rishi, he is famous for his ability in chanting mantra, yajna. He's expert. So different rishis, munis, sadhus, they specialize in different things. And we see that in the temple. Some devotees specialize in kirtan, some like to serve practically, some like to be managers, so on and so forth. That is perfectly understandable, naturally. But the quality is that they're all active within. They are all in samadhi. They're always seeing everything in relationship to Krishna. This material world means we don't, or material consciousness means we don't see things in relationship to Krishna. We have, as it's stated here, a sense of duality. Those are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts. So the doubts means they haven't realized Krishna perfectly. They haven't come to Siddhanta. They don't know that everything, even Lord Brahma and all the rishis ultimately, and this whole material and all the spiritual creation, the Brahma Jyoti, Anadir, Lord Brahma describes Krishna. He is the source of everything. And later in the Gita, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. From me everything emanates. So they haven't understood that yet. They're on the process, but they have doubts or uncertainties. So the result is, as Prabhupada clearly puts in the purport there, is that they're in the dualities. So there's two forms of duality. One is to see this creation, the material creation particularly, as separate from God. That God is in his abode perhaps, and we are in this material world, and there's a big distance between God and this creation. And sometimes different monistic religions in this world, they say God is so great, you can never understand him. Then some say God's name is so powerful, you should never chant it, and so on and so forth. So even in the monistic religions that are current in Kali Yuga, they encourage a separation between God and his creation. not completely, of course. Their intention is to provoke God consciousness. But that is the first sense of duality. And then the other sense of duality in the material world, when we're not conscious of Krishna, how everything is related to Krishna, we see good and bad, happiness and distress, wanted and unwanted. We find, and that is our analysis. It's good and bad relative to me. Because we're not seeing everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord, so then we see everything in relationship to ourselves. This suits me, this doesn't suit me. Sankalp vikalp, accept and reject. Our minds are like that. We think of something analytically perhaps, then we're thinking, feeling, we have a sense of intuition, consideration, and then we come to a decision. I like it or don't like it, I will do it, I won't do it, so on and so forth. Then we perform action. So this is the two forms of duality. God is separate from the creation, and within this creation there is good and bad. But Prabhupada many times in his lectures says actually in this world everything is bad. Because the Maya Shakti, Maya means that which is not. So we consider that this world is somehow independent of the Supreme Lord. These dualities, they have some reality. And we endeavor to enjoy in this world because we don't understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we endeavor in this world, and as we were discussing in Bhagavatam class this morning, we do not become satisfied if we don't attain our aspired object, but also if we attain it, we become fearful of losing it, right? We want to get married to the perfect girl, we think we married her, but then we think she may leave me or she may lose affection for me. We get money and then we're fearful, the government is coming to tax me, I'd better hide it under the bed. We're fearful, the robbers will come, oh I've got a new motorbike, and then we have to put locks on it. We're fearful it'll be stolen, and often it is done. We want it back, we have to go to the village where the people live that steal them. So somewhere near Palwal. Anyway, so these things are going on. We're fearful, and then when eventually those things go, we lament, right? When we're children, we want to be grown-ups, right? You remember? And then when we're young and strong, we think, oh, this is it. But then as we get older, we lament. The girls used to smile at me. Now they want to help me cross the road. So we lament. So this material world, it's funny to think of it, but it's actually very serious when you're in that condition, right? People sometimes even commit suicide, right? They can't attain their beloved girlfriend, and life isn't worth living, so on and so forth. So these are the lamentation. But therefore Krishna explains, Brahma-bhusa prasanatma na soshati na kangshati, right? Brahma-bhuta, that bhuta, the living entity that is Brahma-bhuta, situated in Brahman, what is it? Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. He becomes peaceful. He's satisfied within. And he's not hankering for the material things. He knows that according to my karma, as they say, your food is born along with you. right? The child is born, the milk is in the breast of the mother. So the food is born along with the child. Whatever food is there for you in the future, it will be there. It will come to you. And generally, your financial situation is born along with you. Right? It is karma fall. So he knows, the devotee is peaceful. I may have friends and enemies, they are born along with me. So, prasanatma, let me not endeavor overly for these things. Let me do my duty in the material world. Let me act positively towards other living entities. But kesara sara, as they say, whatever will be, right? Even write songs like that, isn't it? Kesara sara, whatever will be. The future is not ours to see. Kesara sara, right? I remember that when I was a child. Haven't been listening recently. But so even, you know, even poets and philosophers, they understand these things. It's intuitive knowledge. So there's no, you can be peaceful. And then na soshati na kangshati. This is, he doesn't become jubilant overly when something comes his way, and nor does he lament overly. Of course there will be something there, of course. It's not become like a piece of wood. But the material nature acts less upon somebody who is Brahma-bhuta, because he knows he's spirit soul. I'm Brahma-bhuta. He's realized. Pandita Samadarshina, right? Throughout the Gita, Krishna gives verses. He sees all living entities equally. The pandit, the cow, the dog-eater. It doesn't mean to say he doesn't see the differences in situation, a learned person, but he understands the sewer in Vrindavan, many sewer. So they are actually, they have param bhag, right? They have supreme fortune. It's better to be born as a hog in Vrindavan than to be the Queen of England. Because you're the hog in Vrindavan, you're eating the prasad thrown out by the devotees from the temple mela, right? You're cleaning the dam, you're cleaning the sewer. Maybe that's why they're called sewers. Anyway, cleaning the drain. So you are getting some sukriti. So that is the next name, samaksaveshu bhuteshu. He sees all living entities equally, because he knows they're all angsa, they're all part and parcel of Krishna, they're all Krishna's devotees. So mad bhaktim labhate param. So in that consciousness he can attain my pure devotion. From that platform, we were describing this in the morning class, you were there, that if you, Krishna explains to Uddhava, that if you see all living entities as the expansion of Krishna, and Krishna residing within all living entities, Krishna explains to Uddhava that this is the best form of worship. Many people may think, oh, I go to the temple, offer garland. That's very nice. But Krishna isn't just in the murti form, he's present in all living entities. So Krishna explained there to Uddhava that if you see in that way and you train your mind in that way, then you will realize the absolute truth very easily. Because you'll naturally give respect to all living entities, because they are your siblings, right? You have affection for your family, brother and sister. But you will have affection for all living entities when you see that they are all the expansion of Krishna. And so Prabhupada stresses here, right? And Krishna, in the whose minds are engaged within. Oh, so that's the point. To come to this Brahma-bhuta platform, you have to be active within. That's the previous verse, right? Yes. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. So this is the state of the internal consciousness of a devotee. As we explained last week's class, it is a result of becoming absorbed in chapter 4, transcendental knowledge. So transcendental knowledge is particularly important in the beginning of spiritual life to understand the Dasha Mula, the 10 points of Vedic philosophy, the Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means the knowledge of the relationships between Krishna and the material energy, Krishna and the spiritual energy, Krishna and the living entity, and the living entity's relationship to all those things. They're very important to understand them. There's only 8 in number. If you like, we can run through them quickly. These are the, and you can get a book, Dasha Mula, Jiva Dharma. It's the second part of Jiva Dharma. This is all explained clearly. But the first point of Sambandha Gyan is Veda Pramana. The proof, pramana means proof, is contained in the Vedas. The Veda means knowledge. It is the perfect explanation of the spiritual and material creation and the Supreme Lord and all that. So that is the pramana, proof. Then the first is the next 7 points are prameya. Prameya means that which is to be proved. Just like in a court, you have to prove your point to the judge and the jury. So the proof is the Vedas in spiritual life, ultimately. Veda, and also below that, the sages, and then one's own personal guru, Shastra, Sadhu, and Guru. So they are the pramana. But then the first point of prameya is Hari Ishwara, that the Supreme Lord, Hari, is the controller of everything. That ultimately, sometimes people think, oh, Hinduism means many gods. But many gods, what does that mean? If there are many gods, that means there's no God. God means the one, right? God means the one person who nobody is equal to or superior to. Just like they may have so many ministers in India, but they only have one prime minister. You don't have many prime ministers, or else everyone would be even more bananas in the Lok Sabha. It'd be confusing. Who's in charge today? So, Hari Ishwara, there's one supreme control, Ishwara Paramakrishna. Then, Shava Shakti, Achincha Shaktima, that he has an inconceivable range of power and energy, Shaktis, potencies. Infinite in their range and their depth. That means Krishna's creative power has no limit. All his powers, his mercy, everything. Third point, these are, first three are all on Krishna, is Rasavai Saha. That not only is there Shakti in the creation, but there's rasa. There's mellow, there's emotional states, there's taste. Rasa means mellow or taste. So they are, there's 5 primary rasas: neutrality, servitude, friendship, parental, conjugal, right? Then there's 7 secondary rasas: laughter, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, ghastliness. And then these are described in the Nectar of Devotion. Then there's 33 sanchari bhavs or vibhavs. They stimulate the primary and secondary rasas. they cause the churning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it's not just a place of energy, the creation, but it's a place of taste. So then the next three, they deal with the living entity. That the living entity is the Ansa of Krishna. Jiva Ansa. That's number four of the Pramaya. That the living entity is non-different from Krishna, but he's a separated particle. He has his own independent capacity, but dependent on Krishna, but Krishna doesn't interfere with his exercise of consciousness. Then the next one is Jiva Banda. That this Jiva, by his choice, he may be under the material energy. And then there's a big description of what that means. It means to be under the modes of material nature. Aham mamati, I'm this body and I'm controller of these things. And then the next one is Jiva Mukta, that he's situated in his spiritual form and he is situated in his relationship with Krishna. So, and then the next item of Sambandha Jnana is Achintya Bheda Bheda, that the living entity and all the creation is simultaneously one with Krishna, but at the same time separate. Just like this finger is one with my body, but it's also separate, you can say, as a separate entity. You can say that the sunlight is the same as the sun, but at the same time it is different from the sun. So this is a point for contemplation. Everything is the expansion of Krishna, in the same way that the sunlight exudes or expands from the sun. Yet as Mother Yashoda saw, when she looked in the mouth of Krishna, the cowherd boys, Krishna's eating dirt. She looked in the mouth of Krishna and she saw herself and Krishna within Krishna. So everything's expanded from Krishna, yet it remains within Krishna. So there's many aspects. Different philosophers, Vaishnava philosophers, have expanded on these different aspects of Achintya Bheda Bheda, and they're all for contemplation. So these are Veda, these are the seven items based on the Vedic. And the last of the two Dasamula is the Bhakti Sadhana, that Bhakti is the way of attaining one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. And bhakti is divided into two parts, sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means vaidhi bhakti, following rules and regulations, regulated practice, and within that format, developing rag. That means attraction to the Supreme Lord. We don't follow just mechanically, but we want to develop an actual attraction. If we give up sinful activity, and we chant with sincerity, in knowledge, based on Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then we will develop rag. And then that leads us to the two divisions of Bhava Bhakti, which is first Bhava, that means emotional attachment to Krishna of a transcendental, purified nature, and that will condense then to Prem Bhakti. At Bhava Bhakti, that is Uttamadhikari, he's realizing his spiritual form, he's realizing his nature. And that condenses, like sugarcane juice condenses to rock candy, into Prem Bhakti. And then the relationship is fixed, eternally. So that is the Dashamula. So when it explains here, this is the transcendental knowledge, and this knowledge is throughout the Gita, the Bhagavatam, Jiva Dharma, regulated, explains everything. So the contemplation of this knowledge is the natural result of studying it. Because spiritual knowledge is enlightening. Instead of being in the doubts, the duality of doubts, as it's stated here, that material dualities, the devotee realizes that everything is connected to Krishna, and this material world, this conception of good and bad, is just relative to myself. But if I'm realizing that Krishna is in relationship to everything, then he doesn't see good and bad relative to himself, but he sees everything in relationship to Krishna. So he becomes free of duality. So that is the potency of spiritual knowledge. And if you remember, third chapter, we discussed this last week, karma yoga is there, perform your duty as yajñātā kāmanonyatra for Vishnu. But then transcendental knowledge, but then you become internalized, you become like this, you become a rishi, you become active, you become a perfect, he's liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. So knowledge of Krishna leads to attraction to Krishna, and that attraction leads to bhava and prema, naturally. Just like if we're attracted to something, then that attraction will develop into attachment. So raga turns to rati, and attachment turns to prema, naturally. So all these things are there, but on the basis of transcendental knowledge, because that frees us from illusion. It gives us, instead of that which is not, we become absorbed in that which is, eternally. So, and then the result is, you see how wonderful the Gita is, and they're busy working for the welfare of all living beings, you see. So if you become situated in transcendental knowledge, just like I was explaining the different rishis, then naturally, and you're feeling the happiness, it said in the previous verse, happiness is within, then naturally you will want to give that, right? Just like if you have a valuable jewel, it's nice to show it to people. Maybe not the same people that steal motorbikes. But if you have something of value, you want to share it, right? So the devotee, he wants to share Krishna consciousness, and that is his duty, and that is the best way to evoke or invoke the mercy of the Supreme Lord, right? We see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada was once giving a lecture on his disappearance day, and he said that I once wrote a letter to my Guru Maharaj, and I said, I want to render service to you. What service should I do? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote back that I think you should try to push on this movement in English, to the English-speaking people. And that will do good for you, and that will do good for the people in general. Prabhupada says this. I was just listening a few days ago. So, if we give Krishna consciousness, we get Krishna consciousness. Just like if the light gives light, it gets light. The two things are there. And the Krishna conscious person, he naturally gives light anyway. I remember the one story at the Vyas Puja of Prabhupada. It was in Australia, and one Australian, you know, different devotees were giving their offerings to Srila Prabhupada, and one person in the audience, he said, I'd like to say something, I feel inspired. So he wasn't an initiated devotee or anything. So he got up and he took the microphone, they let him, and everyone was listening, what's he going to say? He said, well, actually, one time many years ago, I was on an aeroplane journey, and your Srila Prabhupada sat next to me in the aeroplane, and we never had a conversation, but sitting next to him for a few hours, you can imagine. I was just so impressed that he made such an impression upon me that I never forgot who he was, you see. Never talked, just sitting together, maybe looking out the window or something like that. Prabhupada maybe chanting. I was so impressed with him that I never forgot. And then later on I learned that he was the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, and everyone knows the Hare Krishna movement. And Prabhupada was so happy, actually, that it was known as the Hare Krishna movement. It wasn't the Swami Bhaktivedanta, because he wanted Krishna in the center. Krishna is the center. That was Prabhupada's happiness. He said that many times. So, this is a natural thing, that a devotee who is enlightened, situated on the Brahma-Bhuta and the Prem-Bhava platform, he gives light. It's just his nature, even if he doesn't talk. So, from that story we can understand the potency of spiritual knowledge manifest in a great soul. And, like I say, the devotee, if you have something valuable, and you're not a miser, right? You know what a miser is, right? Scrooge, Charles Dickens wrote, Scrooge, he does collecting money and counting it every morning, but never spending it. So, you can't be a Scrooge and be a devotee. You have to, if you have something of value, and you actually increase the amount. It said, Krishna at the end of the Gita says that those who explain this supreme secret of bhakti to others, there are none more dear to me than them. That's there. So this is the result. We are engaged by Prabhupada's grace, Krishna's grace, in the Hare Krishna movement. And we're trying to spread the holy name and the practice of the holy name and Bhagavad philosophy. So this is a wonderful way to become dear to Krishna. You can't become dear to Krishna by giving him money or, you know. What I mean to say is Krishna has unlimited opulence. Everything belongs to him anyway. He's produced everything. But if you can relieve his anxiety for the fallen souls, then Krishna takes you as a very dear, intimate associate. And he becomes the friend of his devotee. He becomes the Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Prabhupada explains that. If you are engaged in the welfare of your brothers and sisters, then your father is very pleased with you, is he not? It's not hard to understand. So then how does the verse develop? Welfare, who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. And that, if you remember the previous verse, look, he is liberated in the Supreme and ultimately he attains the Supreme, ultimately. So those who are freed from all sins, so if you are engaged in this work, you become freed from anatha, unwanted practices, unwanted understandings. Sava upadi vinirmuktam tat paratrena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchite. That's in the second chapter, Bhagavatam. The, what is devotional service? You're free of all upadi, all material identification. Upadi, unwanted concepts, unwanted physical practices. You're free of all that. And you are engaged in remembrance of Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha. And you're engaged in work that is pleasing to the senses of Krishna. Right? Just like if you have some nice prasad, I mean, it pleases your senses, right? So the devotee's service pleases the senses of Krishna. And that is bhakti.
Kindly explain liberation in the Supreme, or liberation. What is the meaning of the verse?
So, I'll just sum up. Freed from all, achieve liberation in the Supreme. So therefore, if we get the grace of Krishna, if Krishna is well disposed to us because we are pleasing his senses by our meditation, by our action, then naturally we become under the full shelter of Krishna. So the material energy doesn't act upon his devotee. So that's liberation. But in the Bhagavatam, there's a full description. We quoted it in the morning class. Muktir hitavan yata rupam swarupena avavashtiti. That what is liberation? Right? You hear about liberation. So liberation is not merging into the Brahman effulgence, becoming one with Krishna or his effulgence. That is not. Real liberation means muktir hitavan yata rupam. It means the form of liberation, swarupena, that your own spiritual form is fully developed and you're situated in consciousness of that. That means you're situated in your relationship to Krishna. We all have a swarup. We all have a spiritual form. Just like every seed has a spiritual, has a form. There's so many seeds. Some grow into trees, some into bushes, some into plants, into flowers. So everyone has an individual swarup. And that is folded within the seed of the soul. So by hearing and chanting, that just like now there's good rain and good sunlight, right? This is Harialite. It means the time of greenness. The weather's not so parchingly dry. There's rain and there's good sun and green. The Vrindavan is becoming lush and green. So, when the conditions are right, the seed sprouts. It develops its full nature. So every soul contains a spiritual form, swarup. Swa means own, and rup has two understandings. Rup means constitutional nature. That means he is naturally spiritual, just as spiritual as Krishna is. But rup also means form. So that spiritual nature is not formless, it has form. In one of the primary rasa, or four rasa, dasya bhav, sakya bhav, vatsalya bhav, madhurya bhav, we all have a spiritual relationship, but it's dormant within the soul. But by bhakti, by the good conditions of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, this spiritual form awakens under the sunlight of Krishna and the mercy rain of the spiritual master's instruction. So that, when that form is established within the devotee's consciousness, well, the consciousness of the devotee is within that form, then that is mukti.
Mukti generally means we are no longer under the control of birth and death, we will go to...
Yes. Yes. But that is a... You see, there's always two sides on a coin. So yes, mukti means to be free of the material energy on one side. But on the other side of the coin is to be attached to the Supreme Lord, right? Like a good diet means to be free of eating bad food, too much sugar, white salt, white rice, free of bad thing, and to be attached to eating healthy things. So the real description of a good diet is the positive aspect. You understand? So mukti can be described in terms of to be free of the modes of material nature, free of material aspiration, so on. But the real form of mukti is attachment and establishment of one's positive relationship with the Supreme. Do you understand? So both aspects are described in the Shastra, both. But so those that are materially engrossed, they may, oh God, I'm fed up of this world. Like Ayinanda Tanuja Kinkaram. I am fallen, O son of Nandamar, I'm fallen in this material world. Please pick me up, right? And place me as an atom of dust at your lotus feet. So that is the aspiration of the materially conditioned is on that side of the coin. But the liberated soul, his aspiration is that let me have my relationship with you, Prabhu. So then you get the next verse, right? Nayanam Gladasru Dharaya Vadanam, O son of you. They're different.
They have liberation or liberation in the Supreme. These two words, how they are connected with those type of terminology?
Ah, well, yes. There is Sayujya Mukti, Swarupya Mukti, Samipya Mukti. Yeah, there's so many different liberations. But they're generally in relationship to Hari, Vaikuntha, Haridam, where one will attain a form like the Supreme Lord, live on the same planet as the Supreme Lord, be in constant companionship with the Supreme Lord, have the same opulence, shasti, of the Supreme Lord, and even merge into the form of the Supreme Lord. But the Vaishnav don't aspire for that. And this is fully explained in the later parts of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, like through Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So the devotees, Lord Chaitanya is especially said to be the most munificent incarnation because prema purush artha. He says, don't aspire for those lower liberations, just aspire for prema. And that will give you relationship and awaken your spiritual nature fully. So in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumar, he attains liberation into Haridam, the Vaikuntha Lokas, but he's not satisfied. So he continues on his spiritual quest. He chants the Gopal Mantra, right? Gopal Gayatri Mantra, Klin Krishnaya Govindaya. So he chants that throughout the Bhagavatam. And then ultimately he attains kling. Kling is the seed sound of prema bhakti. So it is the root of prema. So that liberation is the ultimate liberation. But the devotee doesn't aspire, just like Lord Chaitanya says, nadanam nadanam sandara bhagata bhakti ahoitaki twayi. Birth after birth. He doesn't necessarily need or desire liberation from the material energy because he's already liberated in the Supreme by his consciousness. You understand? When Narada Muni manifests within the material creation, he's perfectly liberated because he's situated in prema. So a devotee, an Uttamadhikari, is perfectly liberated by being situated in prema. He doesn't need to transfer to the spiritual world. But Krishna does say in a fourth chapter of Gita, he says, janma kama tame divyam evam yo vaditat patraha takpa deham punar janma naiti mamyati sarjana. He says that if you understand my nature, then you will become liberated from this world and you'll never take birth again. So the devotee doesn't aspire to escape the material energy. He's already done that by prema. But Krishna generally takes his devotees with him into his leela, fulfill. That is called Vastu Siddhi, where you have no connection with the material energy at all. So the devotees doesn't ask for anything from Krishna. He rather asks Krishna for some service. He doesn't want something.
I have a point, sir. The name of the chapter is Explaining Krishna Consciousness.
Say again?
The name of the chapter is Explaining Krishna Consciousness. The Krishna Consciousness or self-realization or established in Brahman all at the same meaning.
Well, it depends what your understanding is of those things.
Now, different, some 30 slokas are there. In each slok, some circumstances have been told and result they are not being told. Some circumstances have been told and result they are not being told. Is the slok is self-content? Self-content, by self-content I mean whether by observing those circumstances I will get the result.
If you chant Hare Krishna, you get the greatest result. Huh? And you're situated in Siddhanta by studying the words of the Acharyas. So you'll, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll get prema. But you don't, so according to the Sampradaya, and by practicing the regulations, the guidance of the Sampradaya, you will get the result of that Sampradaya. You don't have to worry, I will get the wrong result. Is that what you are saying?
Yes, for example, in 4.9, that's the slope number. If I know about the bar and it's working, then I am entitled to be liberated and I will not have any bar anymore. Similarly, here, say for example, getting the Brahma Buddha condition. The condition is, you will not be happy by getting something, or you will not lament by losing something. If I practice in such a way that I will not be happy by getting any material benefit, or lament by losing anything,
yeah, but
should I be transformed to the Brahma Buddha condition?
Yeah, but I'm trying to say.
Without any other practice.
I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to explain is that all these symptoms of liberation and so on, they're the result of Krishna conscious practice. You don't have to separate, you don't have to practice them separately. Like the horse goes before the cart. The horse pulls the cart. You don't put the cart before the horse. So if you read about these forms of practice or consciousness, say in this chapter or in the fourth chapter, and then you try to create them from the mental platform or intellectual platform, that's putting the cart before the horse. You understand? The horse is our endeavor in sadhana bhakti, in awakening our relationship with Krishna. Like Prabhupada explains in the purport, everyone is suffering because they don't have their relationship. So if you endeavor through chanting, through sadhu sangha, through studying Bhagavad philosophy, if you endeavor to awaken your relationship with the Supreme, then all those things that are on the cart, they will follow that endeavor. Do you understand the point? So if we just chant for Krishna's pleasure and we try to do some good service, pada sevanam, something for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, we become observed in the conclusions given by the acharyas. And we try, and our goal is to satisfy the spiritual master and the devotees and Krishna. If we make that our horse, that our primary practice, then all the results like liberation and prem, they follow that. So our concern is to chant nicely and do service for the pleasure of Krishna. Do you see the point? We don't have to think, liberation means I should become free of happiness and distress, therefore I won't be happy and I won't be distressed. You understand? That's your question, right? Through knowledge of the spiritual state, then we will be naturally free of happiness and distress. But you see, what you've nicely described is those, like in Buddhism or the Mayavadi, they think you don't feel happiness in distress. But they're not trying to develop their relationship with the Supreme. Therefore, they just try to be even-minded. They try to be aloof from compassion even, or aloof from the troubles of others. They try to be just like blank, impersonal. And it shows in their faces. And the Buddhistic monks, they think that by desire we're conditioned in this world, and that is correct to a certain. So therefore I should have no desire. And that means I should become a zombie. And it shows in their face. They think that that is their samadhi. But the samadhi of the Vaishnavas is their relationship with Krishna and the other devotees of Krishna. You understand? So we are endeavoring to awaken that. And then, not being disturbed by jubilation and lamentation and fearfulness, they are following that. You understand? But it is good, like you are understanding, it is good to understand the condition of the liberated state, so that in the practice of sadhana, we can evoke it from a material platform. Just like if somebody steals your shoes from outside the temple. So you know from the Gita, you shouldn't be too lamented about that. You should just think, never mind, let them have my shoes. Because you know you shouldn't lament. Now if you don't have that knowledge, you might think, ooh, I'll get that person. And you might spend the next day looking at everyone's feet to see if they're wearing your dear chapels. You don't understand? I'm not vilifying you, you understand? So, but you know through, like you're saying, we know what these conditions are of liberation. So when you lose your shoes, you think, everything is temporary anyway, let them be happy. You understand? So you don't lament, you can counter lamentation. Say you drive to a place and you forgot the door key. You just think, well, I'll just drive back and get the door key. Instead of standing at the door key and kicking the door and kicking it. You understand? That doesn't open the door. So you know you should be peaceful. Right? So then you think, oh well, I forgot the key. Instead of becoming angry or frustrated, let me control my senses and just go back and pick it up. You understand? So yes, it is correct to understand these things. But they are part and parcel of the awakened soul. You understand? Just like Krishna is a musician. Right? So everyone is a musician, actually, because we have the same qualities of Krishna. but somebody, their musical ability may be awoken through practice and some may not. But everyone is a musician, everyone is a dancer, because Krishna is a dancer. So if you practice dancing, it will awaken your dancing ability. If you practice singing, it will awaken your musical ability. You understand? So we understand everything philosophically, but our prime endeavor is that relationship with Krishna, because that will awaken all talents and abilities that are inherent in the soul. Clear? These things are for contemplation, but the main thing to contemplate, and that is what Lord Chaitanya has given us, is the beauty and ecstasy of the spiritual realm between Krishna and his devotees. We should meditate on that. And then we become naturally detached from the dualities. And we realize Krishna, we become free of doubts. And how do we do that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes, you have a question? Yes. Yes.
What does it really mean? Because there's no doubt Krishna.
Yeah, because he's free of sin.
Yeah. But you're not free from all the sins. And that's why there's no doubt.
Well, yeah, which comes first, you mean?
Well, divine love.
Yes.
But we are
I know your point, I understand. Because I was thinking that, it's in the verse, very interesting. In the purport rather. Prabhupada says, he has no doubt because he's completely free from sins. So...
But we are sinful. That's why there's no love.
Well, no, if you're following regulative principles and you're initiated and endeavoring to please the spiritual master, you're free from sins. But the reaction is still there, to some extent. But let me explain. What it means is that if you're sinful, it's very hard to realize Krishna to any real extent. You understand? You may have a mental conception of Krishna. You may accept he's the Supreme Lord, but you haven't realized Krishna. The difference is between knowledge and realization. So somebody may accept, yes, I accept the Vedas, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but they haven't realized that directly within their heart that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But that relationship has different depths of realization. You see, you may read the Shastra and think, Krishna Supreme Lord, all the rishis, all the sages, the Vedas say that. So that may be your beginning conception. Good. But you can't compare that to, say, the great rishis and the great devotees. They're feeling Krishna, the presence of Krishna, their relationship with Krishna at every moment. They're beyond the mental conceptions. Yeah, that's the Uttama Adhikari. So Uttama, Ut means above, Tama, ignorance. The material world is a place of ignorance. So if you're Uttama Adhikari, that means you're situated in Bhava Bhakti, Prem Bhakti. So then you are free of all sin then, because every action, every thought, every word is in relationship with Krishna through devotion. So your realization of the Supreme is deep and ever deepening. But that realization is difficult for persons who are sinful. If they are, say, if you're a thief, a liar and a cheat, not you, but if one is a liar, a thief, if one is doing bad things, then Krishna in the heart doesn't give realization of himself to that devotee, to that person rather. Yeah, but we can if we practice, properly under guidance, understanding, we can attain that stage. That is our natural state, to be Krishna conscious.
These two lines explain the general achievement of any Krishna consciousness person.
Go ahead. What's that?
Huh? You will know about the...
This is the state, yes. He's completely freed from... This is, yes, the next... That's the explanation. This is the state of divine love. Yeah, so that means that we're still contaminated by the modes. To some extent. We're not purified in our motivation. So we may be criticizing other devotees. We may be not truthful to ourselves and others. Right? But we're endeavoring. So we're realizing Krishna, but not to the state of divine love, not to Uttamadhika platform.
That means we cannot go back to Godhead in this life.
Well, that's clearly explained in the Shastra. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that in Jiva Dharma. So the qualification for going back to Godhead, what is it? At what point do you go back to Godhead? What is your level? And he explains clearly that it is bhava bhakti. If we attain bhava bhakti, there's 9 symptoms given in the Nectar of Devotion. Yes, but let me finish. If we attain bhava bhakti, then we will take birth where Krishna's Leela is manifest. And there, in the association of Krishna's Leela directly, and in the association of his pure devotees, our bhava bhakti will transform to prem bhakti. And the illustration is there in the 10th canto, that the gopis, they heard the flute, so the Nityasiddha devotees, they went. But then there's explanation that some of the gopis, they were held back by their husbands and their fathers. Don't go, what's going on? Why you want to leave your home in the middle of the night? So it explains there, the acharyas in the purport, they explain that in that anxiety to go and please Krishna in the Ras Leela, this burnt up the last remnants of their pap and punya. And they gave up their material forms and went in their swarup to Krishna. So yes, your point is very sanguine. That yes, while we have this material body, we also have the remnants of our past activities. Because this body is an expression of our past activities to some extent, right? So yes, there's some remnants of papa and punya. Some people may be born, you know, with some chronic disease. This is from their papa in the past. But whatever it is, some people may be born very beautiful body, whatever. So we engage those abilities in Krishna consciousness. But until this body is actually burnt up by the fire of devotion, there's still some remnant effect. You understand? That's what Prabhupada and what you're bringing to light. there's still some effect of our past activities. You understand? So when we go from bhava to prem bhakti, then that is completely eradicated. What is the obstacle? Well, there's no obstacle. There's actually no obstacle other than ourselves.
Because the past good activities, we have come to this stage.
Let me explain. There's no obstacle other than ourselves. We have to understand that. Krishna consciousness is checked not by any material circumstance or past activities, whatever. It is only dependent on one thing, our sincerity. There's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains, Namhatta, I've opened a marketplace and I'm selling the holy name. That means Krishna and your relationship with Krishna. I'm selling it. But how do you buy that holy name? Do you buy with money? No. Do you buy it by studying Shastra? No. Do you buy it by any other thing? He says you can only purchase this holy name, you can only purchase Krishna, your relationship, by lobha, loilam, by desire. If you want your relationship with Krishna, you should cultivate that desire. That should be your central focus. I want that relationship with Krishna. And you should pray to the acharyas. You should pray to the Guru. You should pray to Krishna. Let me have that relationship. Like Sharanagati. What's that song? Kabe habe bolo se dinama aparada guchi sudanama ruchi kripa bolo ridaye sancha. When will that day come? When my offenses are ceasing and I'm getting a taste for the name. When in my heart will your mercy shine? So Bhaktivinoda is exemplifying that. When